So we've been spending this last month of the school year actually in the same place where many of you seniors in Chi Alpha started. Where, oh, there it is. Now that makes sense. That's nice. Yes, that is a baby. And now she's gone. Next time you see her, will be in person. So anyways, as I was saying, we're spending this last month going through this sermon series entitled Ready for More. We're talking to this idea that we are ready, first of all, for God to do more here on campus. We're praying for this fall, for those that are still going to be around, that God will just really breathe revival and do something great among us. We have a heart to see so many students come to know Jesus. So we'll look around here and just see God multiplying things on campus. We're also praying that as you guys go home for the summer, that God will do more through you then as well, that your time of summer won't just be a time of trying to relax and not do anything for Jesus, but that God will do more through you. And finally, for those that are transitioning out of college, we pray that you will do more wherever you go. And so we've been asking this question of what kind of person do I need to be in order for God to do more through me? And we started a few weeks ago talking about the idea of being a risk taker. And then last week, we processed that we are all image bearers in the kingdom of God, and we need to treat other people as such as well. And tonight, we'll be looking at one of Jesus' most famous parables. A parable is like an illustration or a story. And we're going to look at this to see how we can get our lives properly rooted to keep following him. So if you guys want to turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to Matthew chapter 13, it'll also be on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one after service. But anyway, so this will be a story that takes place shortly after Jesus has already, he started his time in ministry, and Jesus done a lot of teaching, actually, mostly through these parables. And so we get to this one that's super famous. Tonight, we're going to read the parable of the sower. So it's Matthew 13, verses 3 through 8, and then we'll skip to 18 through 23. It says this, "Then he, as in Jesus, told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on the good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Then we skip. Jesus is now going to explain what this parable means. Listen then to what the parable means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This stone produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Sermon title tonight is More Hard Workers, More Hard Workers. Let's pray. Jesus, we ask that you move tonight, God. Pray that you speak through the word, God, that it's not me, but it's all from you, Jesus. We love you so much. Amen. Amen and amen. So I very much struggle with being organized. I deeply want to be organized, to get everything done, to finish tasks, but I'm really, really bad at it. If you ask anyone who works for Chi Alpha, they will say, yes, that is true. Derek is really just weighing us down, but I try my best. I usually have anywhere between 10 to 70 unread texts at a time. It's always between 150 and 300 unread emails. Granted, a lot of those emails are from places like Target, like giving you a deal. And see, my wife, Taylor, gets really mad at me. She says, unsubscribe from all those places because you're never going to use them. But then I'm thinking, what if one time they're going to send me some deal that I really desperately need? To which Taylor gets mad at me and says, Derek, you haven't went shopping in years. What do you mean you might need a deal? And then that's fair. But anyways, what if? So going into 2024, I decided that I wanted to get organized. So I decided to buy something. It's called a full focus planner. And this planner is so helpful. This planner has so many things in it. They have you make a daily big three. They have you make your whole goals for the rest of the year. It looks nice. See, this planner has everything you could ever need to be organized. And I am so thankful I bought it. But here's the deal. The planner is kind of expensive. It was an investment. It's like 70 bucks. But see, I wanted so badly to be, I'm really unorganized, and I so badly wanted to be organized. I wanted 2024 to be different, so I went for it. Okay, stop judging me, okay? We do what we can. You guys like, oh my gosh, what a waste of money. Just you wait. See, I did not want this to be a one-week thing and then for me to stop. It's too expensive for that, right? I wanted to go the distance and become an organized person. I didn't want being organized just to be like that fling in my life, like a rebound trait. I wanted to be part of who I was. And so I committed. I got the planner. I marked off a whole afternoon where I prepped it. I got all my goals. I was committed. I would be organized. And so I'm pretty proud of my progress. So that's why I brought my planner to show off to you guys how much I've grown. Let me pull up my first entry of the year. This is January 8th. See, this is like I put, that's not bad. I got my three things I need to do for the day. It says, get organized for the week. Spring calendar, I think. I have really bad handwriting. DTC overview. Sign up for retirement. That'd be good. I did that. All right, so I started off strong. I was feeling good. Let's keep going. Let's see what happens the next day. And then, wait, what? Why is there nothing written? Oh, or the next day, or the next day, or the next day. It looks like, oh, there's a quote from Michelle Obama in here. Anyways, I didn't use any of the rest of the planner. It went to complete waste. It is blank. I filled in an entry for January 8th, and then I stopped. Thank you, Lord, for the $70 that I just threw down the gutter. Needless to say, I struggled with the follow-through. I had really great intentions. I wanted to be committed to being organized, but it just didn't quite work out. So for you, maybe it's not with being organized, but I'm assuming there's at least something you want to go the distance in, you want to be committed to. I hope that you all want to go the distance when it comes to following Jesus, that you want to be committed to him, that you don't want your life with God to just be something you do in college, right? You don't want that. You don't want to just be something that happened this school year. You want, if you're coming back next fall, that you're actually hungrier for Jesus. We long to keep pursuing Jesus. We long to have good summers. We want when August comes that we can say we were faithful to God and we grew over the summer. For those of you graduating, our prayer is that college is not the height of your life with Jesus. That you keep running after him, you keep growing, and that for what God has done in your time in Chi Alpha, it continues the rest of your life. We want our excitement for Jesus to go the distance, to stay strong, to make it past Monday. But it's kind of challenging, right? It can be challenging to actually be the type of person who has a rooted faith, a faith that is deep, that is unwavering, that does not depend on what's happening around us. It can be challenging to keep running after God when the hype is gone. It goes back to this parable of the sower. So what kind of soil do you want to be? Because if you do the math, 25% of the soil works out. 75% doesn't last. Which do you want to be? Do you want to be in the 25% group that lasts with Jesus? Or the 75% that can't go the distance, that can't keep their planner going past day one? We're going to walk through these soils, and we're going to see how we can become the good kind. So the first type of is the seed that is sown along the path. And this says that the seed sown along the path doesn't understand the message of the kingdom of God, so the enemy or the devil snatches away. We're actually going to save that one. We're going to throw that at the end, all right? Let's go to soil number two. We're moving quick tonight. Matthew 13 says this, the seed falling on rocky ground, this is the second one, rocky ground, it refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no roots, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. So the second place where the seed can go is the rocky ground. It says that the seed sown on the rocky ground is like someone who hears the message of Jesus. And at first, when they hear the message of Jesus, they receive it with joy. They're excited. They love the hype of it all. They come to Chi Alpha service. They love the energy. They love the people. They want to be all in for Jesus. They even get the nice t-shirt rocking. And this is a great thing. This is where many of you have been this year. You've jumped all in with God. You're excited for what God can do through you. You've seen your life change, and you found, hopefully, joy in Jesus. I love the excitement. We love the joy. I hope this is a place where you walk in and you feel joy. But what this parable is telling us is that our life with God cannot stop there. Life with God cannot just be about hype. It can't just be about community. Your life with Jesus can't be about you loving Tuesday night services. It's got to go deeper. Because if you're not rooted, you won't last very long. What this means in saying is that if we follow God just for the excitement or just for the hype or the feeling we get, when the excitement's gone, we'll walk away.
When life gets hard, when you go home for the summer, when you don't see your small group as much, when the music is not quite as good at your home church as it is here, you'll fall away. If your life with God is based off of hype, it will not last. So in order to last, you must get rooted. You must get deep, entrenched with your life with God. Your life with God cannot just be about doing the exciting things and coming to service and small group and stopping there. No, see, what this means is your life with God has to go from just being a corporate thing, something we do together, to a personal thing, where you don't only follow Jesus on Tuesdays and Thursdays for small group, but instead you follow Jesus on your own. If your life with God is only vibrant with your small group or Chi Alpha people, it is not rooted enough to last. Because here's reality. This summer's coming. And when summer comes, some of the excitement will be gone. You won't be around all of your friends. You won't have your small group to push each other as frequently. Your church at home might lack some of the excitement that you feel on a Tuesday night. Or if you're not going to summer, you are getting ready to graduate. And you're leaving your Chi Alpha family. And your life with Jesus is going to look different. Most of the time, community outside of Chi Alpha looks very different. You're not in the same season of life. You don't have as much free time. You do not usually spend as much time with people as you do in Chi Alpha. In Chi Alpha, you do a lot of your life with college students and with your small group. In the church world, the people in your small group have children, they have jobs, they have other things to do. Your pastor, whatever church you go to, will not have as much time for you as your small group or resource group leader. You probably will not get met with every few weeks to sit down and talk about your soul. So what will you do when the hype is gone? The rocky ground means that when the hype's gone, the excitement's gone, we're gone. But we got to do the work to get rooted, to make our life with Jesus about more than just feeling, but about action and choosing God. But the rocky ground is not only shown through just following Jesus when there's a lot of excitement. Those whose life with Jesus is based on the rocky ground will really, really struggle when something is asked of them. At first, life with God's pretty exciting, right? I'm forgiven. I'm free of sin. Thank God Almighty, my chains are broken. Hallelujah, I'm free. We feel good, right? I raise my hand, Jesus. I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. Hallelujah. It's fun at first, right? But the more and more you get to know Jesus, the more you realize that while the gospel is the greatest news ever told, there is a cost. I'm forgiven of sin. That's great news, right? That also means that other people can be forgiven of sin. So you should probably be nice to them, even if they're mean to you. If you've been shown a lot of mercy, that probably means that you should show mercy to the people around you, right? The people of God should be the most gracious people on the planet. We know what we've done. We know we don't deserve a seat next to King Jesus, but we are forgiven and set free by him, so we better be people who are full of mercy, who never hold grudges or bitterness. There is no place for bitterness in the kingdom of God. Ooh, that's a little harsh sometimes. Sometimes I like to be bitter. It feels good for a moment. It doesn't feel good for long, but it feels good in a moment. We don't want to be merciful. Or maybe we think of the idea that I'm saved by faith, so I don't have to earn this. Thank you, God. But if you're truly saved by faith, faith means trust, right? And so if you actually trust God, yes, you don't have to obey him to earn his love, but if you actually trust him, you'll obey him because you trust him. So yes, you're saved by faith, not by anything you've done, but that does mean if you have faith, you're going to actually listen to Jesus. So will you listen to Jesus no matter what he says? Because see, as you spend time reading the Bible, you might just come across some truths that are a little bit more difficult to understand or to accept. See, we love Jesus when he says that we're forgiven of sin, but do we also accept what he teaches when it goes against what culture says? When he says things are sinful that you never thought were sinful, what will you do when Jesus says that there's some things that you grew up celebrating and thinking were okay that actually go against the design of God? Do we pick and choose what kinds of Jesus we want, or do we just accept what Jesus says? For example, God is very clear that sex should only happen inside godly marriage. But our culture says that it's your body, you can do what you want. So the rocky, grounded people will receive the message of forgiveness with joy, but then we'll take the message of sexual morality and spit that out. I don't want that. I'll take forgiveness of sin, but I also want to keep on sinning, right? That's the rocky ground. because that kind, the rocky ground, is not going to last. We cannot just pick and choose what we want to take from the Bible. We can't just pick and choose the teachings of Jesus. Jesus is quite clear. Either you're all in or you're all out. Because the rocky ground, they pick and choose. But a rooted life, says Jesus, no matter what, I'm all in. Because we see the goodness of God. And if God is truly as good as he says he is, then he must have my best interest at heart. And his way must be the best way. So I trust you, Jesus. The rocky ground will also give up when something is asked of them. When they're asked to do something hard, they'll stop being as excited about God. When they're asked to change their beliefs to align with Jesus, they'll lose joy. Rocky ground will only follow when it's full of hype and easy messaging. But in the rocky ground, the seed of the Word of God has no root. So if you want to go the distance, and if you want to follow Jesus this summer after Chi Alpha, your whole time in college, you got to do the work to get rooted, to making your life with God about more than hype. And this looks like spending time with Jesus on your own. You can't know the teachings of Jesus unless you're reading the teachings of Jesus. This means getting up early to spend time reading the Bible, being disciplined to pray, going from just excitement to discipline, to spending time with Jesus, even when you don't want to. Even when you don't want to, if the only time you spend time with Jesus is when you got the feelies, then there's a lot of times you're not going to have the feelies, right? Sometimes you got to do something even when it's a little hard because Jesus is worth it. So we choose to be disciplined. We choose to go to small group and large group, even when you have homework, preaching to the crowd, you're all here. You choose to go to Sunday morning church, even though it can be real early in the morning. Talk about that. We all need to be in a Sunday morning church. Even though Sundays are in the morning, so it's a little earlier, it might feel less exciting. You've got to be in community with people who aren't just college students. Because see, this is just like a glimpse of the kingdom of God. Because you're all in the same season of life. And there's something important about gathering with believers who are older than you and younger than you, who see the world differently from you. So that's why Sunday morning church is so important. This is like we're coming together to get training ground to go and conquer the campus. Sunday morning's a different kind of goal. It's where you're gathering with people who have followed Jesus a heck of a lot longer than I have, and you can receive from them. And also you have to recognize that church, Sunday morning church, is what following Jesus looks like for 99% of humanity. This is not normal. This is the abnormal thing, right? The normal thing is going to church. So we can't let coming here on Tuesday nights be an excuse to not get up and go on Sunday mornings. And we at Chi Alpha, we are a partner with Scent Church. So I would really love to see you all there. Scent Church is an amazing church that has the exact same DNA as Chi Alpha. The lead pastor is my brother, so we probably share DNA. So there's really quite a lot of, we even look kind of similar. So it'll just feel like a Tuesday night. He's just a little bit like older than me. He's got more grays because he's got like 35 kids. But anyways. And also, I will say that God moves on Sunday mornings at our church. Sunday mornings, if you've been there, they're honestly a little bit more exciting than Tuesday nights because there's these old ladies, and they get wild. They're like, ah! They're like dancing and like yelling. You will hear every Sunday morning, woo! Every single Sunday. And then like when you're half asleep, it kind of wakes you up. Like, what just happened right there? Anyways, it's the old ladies. They've been up since 3 in the morning interceding for you. They're ready to roll. So if you want a church to get a little wild, come to Scent because that second service, oh gosh, sometimes I'm like, oh, what's happening? They drink a lot of coffee. But anyways, so Sunday morning doesn't have to be not exciting. If you come to our church, it's pretty exciting. And if that scares you, just go to the corner by me. I won't yell at you. It'll be great. We can sit next to each other. So here's the deal. If you want to be a rooted Jesus follower, this is so simple, but you got to get your butt into church on Sunday mornings. Because A, it's important now, but that's how you get rooted for a lifetime. You go the distance because you're not going to have Chi Alpha forever. Unless you work here, well, then you have to go to church. It's part of the contract. So anyways, and so if you're looking for a church, we would absolutely love to have you at Scent. I think there's no better place for you to be. If you love Chi Alpha, you'll love Scent Church because it's the same DNA, same thing. And this idea applies this summer specifically and as you graduate. You got to get plugged into a local church this summer. Watching church online is not church. That's called a TV show. And if you want to watch a TV show on your own, that's perfectly fine, but that's not the church. The church is the gathering of the believers. So I encourage you, I implore you, hey, I challenge you, get plugged into a local church this summer. And then for you, those of you graduating, you have to get plugged into a church. And if you need help finding one, let me know. I'd gladly help you, or I'll try my best. We can't go the whole summer or our whole lives without gathering with other Christians and then expect to live a rooted life. So as we end our Chi Alpha school year and you go off to summer or you go off to graduation, the question we're asking is, will you last? Will you be rooted enough that when the hype fades, rooted in Jesus, you're not rooted in Chi Alpha. You love Jesus way more than you love Chi Alpha. There is a man who was born in the 1950s who really exemplifies this idea of being rooted in Jesus. Brother Yun, who wrote a book called Heavenly Man, was born in China in a time when following Jesus was prohibited. And still, that's still what it is to this day. The government was very much against proclaiming Christ. And Brother Yun had this crazy story of coming to know Jesus. We don't have time for it. But he was persecuted for his faith. His church was a little house church that met in a basement where they couldn't sing too loud because or else the police would come and get him. And they failed at that because the police eventually came and got him. And so Brother Yun was imprisoned for following Jesus. He was beaten almost to death and locked away. And so when Brother Yun was in prison, it would have made sense for him to lose some of his excitement for Jesus, right? He had no Bible, no worship music. He couldn't just tell Alexa what to do and play and like start hallelujah that way. There was no small groups. There were no services. It was just Brother Yun and Jesus. It would have made sense for him to kind of question God. At least I probably would have, but not him. He was so rooted in God that he decided that him being in prison was actually a great opportunity for him to get closer to Jesus. So Brother Yun decided to fast. He didn't drink water or eat food for 74 days, which is not earthly possible. It only happens by the grace of God. So he decided to fast for 74 days, and then supernaturally, he got out of prison. He had a dream once, and in the dream, it said, when you wake up, walk out of prison. And he walked out, and no one stopped him. Read the book. It'll blow your stinking mind. Anyways, it's called Heavenly Man. See, Brother Yun saw this horrible situation with absolutely zero excitement, and he tried to decide that's actually the opportunity to get closer to Jesus. He was rooted in God even when it wasn't hard, even when there's no excitement. The question is, will you be? Let's go on. So our parable goes from the rocky ground to the seed falling amongst the thorns. It says, the seed falling amongst the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth, the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth, they choke the word and make it unfruitful. Let's talk about the thorns. So the people, the seed that falls amongst the thorns, it's people who, when they hear the word, their growth with God gets choked, gets cut off. And they're choked out through distractions. There's actually two kinds of distractions. First, they're distracted by, it says, the worries of life. And earlier on in Matthew, Jesus is giving his Sermon on the Mount, his most famous sermon. He actually talks about worrying. So we're going to read that together. Matthew 6, verses 25 through 33 says this. Therefore, this is Jesus talking. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothes? Look at the birds. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? The answer is no, you may not. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans, people who are far from God, they run after all these things. And your heavenly Father, God knows what you need. Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be given to you as well. I don't know about you. I sometimes get distracted by worries. I start worrying about little things. This passage specifically is talking a lot about worrying about your finances. We worry about our finances, our savings, our retirement. Being financially wise is a good thing. But if we spend all of our energy worrying about our finances and worrying about how we're going to get our next thing, the text is showing us that that's a waste of our time because God will provide. Some of us in here are really prone to worry. I would raise my hand to that. Some of us spend time thinking through the worst case scenarios. What if we lose everything? What if this doesn't come through? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? Jesus is telling us that those of us who are distracted by what ifs are the ones who are getting choked out amongst the thorns. He's saying if we're constantly worried about the what ifs of life, we will never grow into who God's got us to be. Because we're so worried about what ifs that every time we grow, it's like chokes it out so you can't get any farther. The endless what ifs distract us. And when we're guided by these worries, it limits what God will do. Jesus is saying it's pointless to worry. God has got you. If God can take care of the birds and the flowers, he can take care of you. So if you lay awake at night worrying or thinking worst case scenarios, it's time to trust God.
It's time to trust Jesus more than your savings account. If you're a person of worry, ask yourself why, because worrying doesn't even add a single hour to your life. What is the point? As you step into this summer, new worries might present themselves. So maybe you're stepping back into an unhealthy family situation. You're worried about something. You're worried about family drama, making your parents happy. Maybe your parents don't follow Jesus, and that really stresses you out going back in to show them the new you. Or maybe you're worried about this summer making enough money to last the whole next year. So you plan to spend your whole summer working so then you don't have to stress later. And that's working's not a bad thing. But your savings account is not worth neglecting Jesus for the next 3 months. Let me let you in on a little secret. So I've pastored a lot of college students at this point in time. The number one thing that disconnects college students from Jesus during the summer is not sin. The number one thing that disconnects college students from Jesus in the summer is not they start partying again, they start looking at things they shouldn't, they start sleeping around. It's none of that. It's always they work too much and they don't spend time with Jesus. They spend their whole summer working like 40 to 50 hours and they don't spend time with God. And here's the deal. You can work a full-time job and spend time with Jesus. The rest of us do it. You can do it, but you got to think about your life, your situation. So God has given you enough time to take care of the things that you need to take care of. I think some of the times we often think, there's not enough time. No, God's given you enough time. There's enough time in the day, I promise. God created it this way. But we can't choose work and money over our time with God. So if you have a job that makes it so you cannot spend time with Jesus, it is time to find a different job in the summer. Granted, the other solution would be, let's say you work really early. Maybe you go to bed earlier. You don't spend up all night on your phone or watching Netflix. So then you can get up earlier and spend time with Jesus before work. Imagine if we all spent time with Jesus before we started our day. First thing we did. Oh, this summer would be awesome. So as you go home for the summer, don't let the worry of finances and your job disconnect you from God. For those of you that are getting ready to graduate, you're going to have a lot of potential worries. You're going to pay more bills. You have to get the right job. You want to have a family. And you'll quickly learn that you are a lot less busy in college than you thought you were. It's easy. It's much easier, I'd say, to not get distracted and focus on Jesus when you're in college. It's actually easier. Because you have systems in place. You have a small group. You have here. You have a built-in mentor, usually, who keeps you accountable, spend time with Jesus. And those things are going to be gone. So it could be easy for those of you graduating to get distracted and put God on the back burner. But you need to be proactive and prioritize time with God and not give in to those distractions. That's not the only distraction he talked about, though. So there's worries. But then he goes in and says the deceitfulness of wealth. What he is saying here is, stressful things can distract us, but can also good things. Good things like wealth, that's a good thing. It can distract us. Making money, having a great career, a great family, those things can actually distract you from God. As you get older, you might turn your focus. How can I be a good employee, a good spouse, a good parent? And you focus more on that than being a good, healthy Jesus follower. But my argument would be is that you cannot be a good employee, spouse, or parent if you are not a good Jesus follower. So Jesus must come first, even as you transition to a new season of life. Make God the number one thing in your life. Corey Ten Boom says that if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. If the devil can't make you sin, he will just make you busy because it accomplishes the same thing. We get distracted by so many things. We get distracted by things like as you get older, maybe your kids' sports. You get distracted by your phone. You get distracted by your career. We get so busy that we lose focus on what matters. As you leave Chi Alpha, those of you who are graduating, if I could get you to remember one thing, it's remember what actually matters in life. Do not get distracted from the mission of God. I pray that over your time in Chi Alpha, you've learned that life is about more than the white picket fence and the good job. I pray that your time in Chi Alpha has taught you that the American dream is not the idol to bow to. The number one thing that people bow to in our society is not sin, it is the American dream. The American dream is the number one distractor from people living into all that God has for them. It's not bad to have finances, not bad to have a good family, but if those things become your God that you bow to, then you're not bowing to the right God. As you go into adulthood, I can promise you that the temptation maybe go out and party or to sleep around, those temptations go down. You get married, you get bored. You get boring at least. You get older. No, your temptation starts being, ooh, I could buy something new. Ooh, I could be a little more secure. Ooh, my retirement may be a little bigger. I could retire a few years earlier. So then I can sit in my butt more. What a great life. I retire at 50 so that I can sit in my butt for 20 years. Great. Maybe, just maybe, God has created you for something more than just the American dream. Maybe, just maybe, God has created you to change the world around you. Maybe we could be ready for more than just living the American dream.
Because that, my friends, is a thorn that distracts us and chokes us from the Word of God. In order to last, you must resist distractions. You must resist distractions of worries and also the distractions of good things. Good things can get in the way too. If good things become the focus of our life, we'll spend our life pursuing good things. We'll miss out on the God thing that He has for you. Don't let good things get in the way of God doing great things. Let's jump back to the first soil. Matthew 13, 19 says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. That's the seed sown along the path. The first soil is the path, the first place it goes. What it says here is the seed on the path just doesn't understand. This is not because it's saying, oh, a quarter of you are dumb. It's not saying anything like that at all. This has nothing to do with natural intelligence or like how well you understand the Bible when you read it. It's not getting to that. No, the seed doesn't understand because it hasn't put in the work. Understanding is just work. With enough time and enough energy, you can probably understand most things. Maybe not like rocket science, but you can understand a lot of things if you just spend enough time with it. Like, I know way too much about the NFL draft because I spend time researching it. Not because I've ever gone through the process of getting drafted, clearly. That has not happened. But I just really enjoy it, so I understand it. And the same thing can happen in our life with God. So the lack of understanding from this soil isn't they're stupid. It's they've not put in the work to meditate and read the Bible. Because see, what it's saying here is we must spend time reading the Word of God. The Word of God is truth, and we need truth to combat lies. Because what it says there is the enemy comes and snatches away the seed. The enemy is the devil, who the Bible refers to as the master of lies. The devil's main priority is to get you to believe a lie. He's always worked through lies. You go back to the very beginning, Genesis, he works through Eve in the Garden of Eden, he lies to her. There's a war in your head between lies and truth. God is trying to get truth into your heart, and then the enemy is trying to get you to believe lies about yourself and about him, that God's not good, that you have to measure up, that he doesn't love you, that you've screwed up too bad. That's what the enemy is trying to get you to believe, but the God is saying, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true. And that's why we must spend time with Jesus reading the Bible so truth can get into our soul in order to say no to the lies in our head. If you've learned anything in your time in Chi Alpha, I pray that it is this. Spend time with Jesus. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. If you read the Bible every single day, you will have a healthy summer. If you want a healthy life after Chi Alpha, I got one trick. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus, meditate on the Word of God so truth can get in to fight lies. In order to last, you must combat lies with truth. And the only way to do so is spending time in the Word of God. With all that said, we get to our final soil. Worship team, you can come up now. This is the good soil. Matthew 13 says this, 23. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. What it says is the good soil is the one who hears the word and understands it. The good soil is the one who's done the work to let God get into their hearts. As we've gone through these soils, one thing I want you to recognize is this. You are not born into one of these soils. It's not like when you're born, you're like, okay, that's a rocky ground kind of person. God's like, no, you're a thorn. You just are on the path. Oh, and the good soil. That's not how that works. You're not born into a soil. It doesn't happen at you. You actually get to choose what kind of place your heart will be. When the seed comes to your heart, are you going to be the rocky ground? Are you going to be the thorns? Are you going to be the path? Or are you going to be the good soil? It's completely up to you. You get to choose. I've got proof. A few years ago, and I didn't tell him, this story. When Pastor Victor up here, a few years ago when he was a student and he was a small group leader, some hidden sin issues came to the light. He shared this story before. So I'm not going to get into all the details, but long story short, Pastor Victor had some hidden sin because his roots with God just weren't the deepest. I was Victor's small group leader, so I got to walk through all this with him. And Victor was eventually removed from small group leadership. He was removed from the worship team. He was no longer on stage. All those things were gone because his roots weren't deep enough. And because of this, it had to become just him and Jesus. So all the hype from following God was stripped away for Victor in an instant. And in this moment, Victor had a choice to make. Would he run from God? Or would he build some roots? Would he do the hard work to change what kind of soil he was? Because from being Victor's leader for a couple years, the first couple years, he was a mixture of the rocky ground and the thorns. That was the soil of his life, and that was the fruit it produced. So he got to decide, is that who I'm going to be, or I'm going to change my story? And so over that next year, I got to see, which I think has been probably the highlight of my life in ministry, I got to see Pastor Victor go on a journey of doing a lot of work. Oh, he worked hard to change his own heart. He committed to being vulnerable, to sharing his struggles, which is not natural for him. He committed to getting a deep life of prayer. He committed to spending time with Jesus daily. He began to engage his emotions with God. He would spend hours in prayer, worship of the Bible. He could take you to a spot in this random house in Cedar Falls where he met with Jesus almost on a daily basis, crying for the first time before God. And so I got to see Victor not in an instant, but over a year as his leader. It was the most beautiful thing ever. He continually took one step closer to God, one step closer to God, one step closer to God, and said, I'm going to keep doing the work. I'm going to keep doing the work. I'm going to keep doing the work. No longer was his spiritual life about leadership or position or being on a worship team. It became about being a son of God. And as he got his priorities straightened to I'm a son of God and nothing else, his soil changed. Over a year, he went from rocky and thorns, and God just took those thorns, and he took them out, and he chucked them away. He took the rocks, and he threw them away. And what was all clouded became the most beautiful soil where God has birthed something amazing from it. Because, see, Victor decided that his life was going to be good soil. And it says in the Bible that the good soil is the one that understands, right? Like I said, understanding is not something that happens at us. You usually don't just instantly understand things. No, think about it. How do you understand something? You give it time and you put in work. With enough time and enough work, you can eventually understand most things. With enough time and enough work, no matter where you're coming from tonight, you can become a place of good soil. Just like Victor, it wasn't an overnight fix, but rather it was a lifelong commitment that he was going to be a different kind of person. And you can do that. No matter what mistakes you've made, your soil is not defined. Maybe when you hear about the rocky soil, you realize, oh, a lot of this has to come about excitement. I haven't really personalized my life with Jesus. That's okay. Let's make tomorrow a new day. Or maybe you realize that some thorns have distracted you, that you've let maybe the worries of life or the deceitfulness of wealth get in the way of your life with God. That's okay. Let's get those thorns out of there. Because your story's not over yet. You can be the best soil in the world if you'll do the work. It's hard work to get to know the real heart of God. To be the soil that understands, you got to do the hard work of seeking God on your own, of spending time with Jesus without the hype, of resisting distractions. Anyone can have a great relationship with Jesus. Anyone can follow God well. Anyone can go the distance. Anyone can make it past Monday. Your life can be a beautiful planner, all full, where you go the distance, you get to the end of your life, and every sheet is filled because you spent every day of your life saying yes to Jesus. Any one of you can get there. It's up to you. Will you prioritize the presence of God? Will you read the Bible? Will you pray? Will you get up early to spend time with Jesus? Will you prioritize time with other Jesus followers? Will you live a life of what we call real devotion, real community, and real responsibility, where you know God, you get to know yourself, you find friendship and then find freedom from sin, and then you commit to living mission and living service? Will you do that? Will you do those things even when you don't want to? Will you get up early even when you don't want to? Will you talk to that person about Jesus even when it's uncomfortable? Will you say no to sin even when it's hard? Will you do the hard work of following Jesus even when it feels like you're not getting anything from it? Because see, this summer, or when you're leaving Chi Alpha, both these things are actually the true test of what kind of soil you are. It's easy to be good soil in these environments, right? It's much more challenging when you're home by yourself, when temptation's just this far away, when you've lost your Christian community. We're all going to face a test soon. What kind of person are you? Do you follow Jesus for the hype in the community, or do you love our King? My deepest prayer in life, the thing that keeps me going every day, is that you will all love Jesus, that you all love the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, that you love Jesus way more than you love Chi Alpha. I love Chi Alpha. Jesus is way better. I pray that this can all be about him. That your time in college will not be the height of your life with God. I pray that this place is just a launching pad into, dare I say, a journey of a lifetime with God. Our main idea tonight is if you want to be the soil that lasts, you must do the work. There is no shortcut. There is no cheat code. You have to do the work of saying yes to God every day. Of when you take 3 steps backwards because of a sin issue or something, that you say, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to try again. I'm going to try again. I'm going to keep going. Throughout your time in Chi Alpha, you've heard this message. The seed has been scattered, so to speak. See, you know that you can have life with God. You know that God can do so much through you, that you can change the world. You can have a personal, vibrant life of devotion with God. Now it is up to you. Will you do the hard work to let the seed get deep and grow, or will the seed go to waste? And see, this is where the real beauty of following Jesus comes in. That even when we fail to do the hard work, Jesus has done the hard work for us. Because see, we more often than not, we fail to honor God with our lives. We give in to sin. But Jesus did the hard work of dying on a cross for our sins and then raising from the dead, defeating death. No matter what you've done, no matter what your soil has looked like, you have an opportunity to change your story because Jesus, the God of the universe, died for you. That should mess with us. So this is not a place of condemnation or you feeling guilt, but it's rather a place of freedom because God has so much more for you. And if we will do the hard work and seek God, we will see God do more. We'll see more on campus this fall after we have a great summer. You'll see more in your life after Chi Alpha as you keep pursuing Jesus. You will be ready for more as Chi Alpha is not the peak of your life with God, but just the starting place. We, Chi Alpha, can be ready for more if we do the work. And if we do the work, we will be the kind of soil that lasts. We'll go the distance with God. And if we live like that, we're going to change the world. Would you all stand with me? I want to give us 2 ways to respond tonight. So the first way is for those of you that are here, and if you're honest, you haven't given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've been running from him, or maybe you've never accepted Jesus as Lord. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now, to accept the payment of Jesus on the cross. So again, search your heart. Have you given your life to Jesus? If you have, amazing. But if you have not, this could be your time to say yes to God. So everyone, close your eyes, bow your heads. I'm just going to count to 3, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand as an outward symbol of what God's doing in your heart. And this is if you do not, haven't given your life to Jesus and you want to change that tonight. So that's you on the count of 3, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. Thank you. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you for our new members in the kingdom of God. Thank you that we can say yes to you because you said yes to us so many years ago, God. Thank you for dying on the cross for us, Jesus, that when our soil isn't good, you are good enough. Amen. And the second way we're going to respond is we're going to sing one more worship song together. And I want you to think through your life. Is there anything, so when we're singing, think through, is there any, maybe it's a rocky ground, some way you haven't let God get deep. Maybe there's a truth that you haven't let be accepted. Something that you haven't let get deep in you. Or maybe there's a thorn in your life. There's some distraction or something that you need to give up and give to God. I want you when we're singing that to give that to God, right? So let's sing one more song together. Let me pray and then we'll enter into worship. Jesus, we love you. God, thank you for our time together. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for all you've done this year, God. And I pray that we will be a hardworking Chi Alpha group. We love you so much, Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's worship together.